Hello everybody, this is Salil Tripathi. I'm on the phone with Robin McDowell, who is a reporter with the Associated Press, and she's based in Yangon in Myanmar. She recently co-wrote a path-breaking story about a very grueling circumstances in which fishermen from Myanmar operate on an outer island in Indonesia. These are not merely slave-like conditions, they are almost virtually slavery. Very, very gory images that they portrayed of people being kept in cages, people being given corporal punishment, being given very little wages. That's horrendous, of course, Robin. My first question was, how did you come across the story?
My colleague Marjorie Mason and I had decided in early 2014 that we really wanted to do a story about slavery at sea. We knew that cases of abuse were widely documented. There had been many stories written about them, many interviews, but for some reason, nobody seemed to really care. It kind of just fell on deaf ears, and sometimes politicians would jump up and down, and businessmen would promise to change, but actually nothing really was changing. So we decided at that time that the only way to really get people to care was to link the slave-caught fish to the American dinner table. And we decided to, we basically started talking to sources at that point, labor rights activists, people in the fishing industry leaders, to try to figure out how to make that connection. And pretty much everybody told us it was, this was pretty much impossible. It was the Holy Grail. The problem is that the industry itself is so murky. The documents are regularly falsified. Even when businesses can say that their fish came off a specific vessel, they cannot prove that how the workers, or they have no idea how the workers on that vessel were treated. In many cases, the fish on that vessel is then transferred onto reefer ships at sea, so there's no real clear trail from the time it gets to ports, to the market, to the processing plant, and then to America, where this fish came from. So that's kind of where we started. Eventually, some of our sources from an earlier sources led us to Indonesia and said they were interviewing a lot of migrants, mostly from Myanmar, some from Cambodia, a few from Laos that were reporting abuses, saying that, basically the problem was being pushed further and further out to sea in Indonesia. They heard of one specific island. It finally came out where none of our sources actually visited, but they had a few runaways, and they introduced us to a couple of escapees and kind of gave us a general idea at that point that this would be kind of our ground zero.
Now, in terms of being widespread, is it? Can you at all estimate how widespread is it?
I think it really depends on the boat captain in this area.
Right.
But what I will say is that, even the fishermen who said, "Oh, we're not treated so badly," they were comparing it to the worst case example.
Right.
So while they might not have been beaten, while they're, they might have gotten a small amount of money, while their captains would share food with them and kind of treat them okay, they were still working during the high season, 22 hours, 24 hours a day.
Right.
It's really a kind of a question of, it's all relative.
Now, if we were to think of solutions to problems like that, one example I can think of is what was done with Conflict Diamond in the Kimberley process, that what the international community did was to create a system of chains of warranties and certification to make sure that whatever comes from the source is conflict-free, so that diamonds from Sierra Leone and Liberia did not enter the global diamond trade. Now, it has its flaws, but it seems to have worked at least up to some extent, and some of the people are even saying that, do we really need it? The conflicts are over. Now, reflecting on an experience like that, plus there is a rug mark, of course, for carpets to eliminate child labor in the carpet industry. Do you think something like this can work? And if so, of course, you need the government, the business, the civil society, the trade unions to work together. So how possible it is to imagine that something like that is possible? Or are we still at a stage where we still need a lot more sensitization through more exposure and the shock effects so that people act?
Well, I think you still, I mean, I really think still the most significant pressure is going to come from the American businesses and European businesses.
Uh-huh.
This is a $7 billion industry for Thailand. And when they start feeling the pressure on that, that is when they will have to start to change. But it's really you know, from the bottom up type of problem. The government officials can say what they want. They can make all kind of promises, pledges, but the problem starts really on the ground from the time, you know, police complicity to getting guys onto these boats, and to problems at sea. I think a few years ago, some of the biggest problems were in the Thai waters. And when they had to start cleaning that up a little bit, it started getting pushed further and further out to sea. So it's kind of like you shine a spotlight on it, and then the cockroaches go scurrying into the dark and start doing their activities someplace else.
Right.
But I do think significant pressure from businesses will force it to change. I think if you had America or Europe saying, as you're seeing Europe do right now with their yellow carding and sanctioning, we're going to go to China or Norway or someplace else to buy our fish, they would have to really, really make a change. As it is now, they're coming up with kind of band-aid solutions that are symbolic more than anything. You know, like they'll say, we can guarantee that this fish, and we can show you the documentation showing that this fish is caught from this particular vessel, processed in this particular factory, and basically draw a line from the sea to the table. But they still have the problem of not being able to verify what is actually happening on the boats. That doesn't address that.
Right. Now, again, reflecting on that, I mean, in one of your follow-up stories, you've written about one Thai company which canceled one, or, you know, stopped dealing with one particular supplier. But it cannot be a piecemeal solution like that, clearly, right? I mean, you do need... So, obviously, more exposure is necessary. And more NGO auditing is necessary. Are there a lot of NGOs active in that area?
There are, but I mean, the problem in this particular case is we followed one particular shipment from Indonesia to the port town in Thailand, to the processing plants, and then to the exporter Thai Union, and followed the trail then to the U.S. But this was one.
Right.
I mean, in terms of what else we had, we probably had a half dozen companies
mm-hmm.
that we just didn't have enough solid evidence to nail for this particular story.
Mm-hmm.
Thai Union cutting supplies with one company really makes no difference at all. It makes everyone feel good, and it makes Walmart and Kroger and people say, oh, yeah, they cut ties, we're fine now. But in fact, there's a lot of other, I mean, it's a web and it's dirty in a lot of different places. And we're looking at stories now that will show just how widespread it is.
And what has been the response in Myanmar itself? What does the Myanmar government feel? Because on one hand, it is now trying to open up and trying to do all the things right to gain investor confidence. Clearly, it bears some responsibility that so many citizens of Myanmar are subject to such horrendous conditions.
I think Myanmar is still trying to figure out how to respond.
Right.
This has been a problem that's been going on for decades, and
right.
It's been especially bad for the Burmese migrant workers in the 90s and the early 2000s. I think that, you know, like when you look at who is rescued, how do the embassies react, how the government, it has always been the Burmese that have been the slowest to respond and really. I hope that will change now with the
right.
new government and they might have examples of ways to do things better. But this is a really great test for them because they now have, you know, almost 500 Burmese on one island in Indonesia, and it's going to be a question of how to get them home, how to hold the companies that took them accountable. It's a monumental task, and they really have no experience doing it. So we'll see.
Thank you very much, Robin. This is most useful, and all the best for your work.